morning and happy Saturday, you guys. It is Amanda and Baron with Kicking Cancer Cares on KSLM Radio, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. And our sponsor for this first half is Odd Mo's Pizza. Did you know they have pasta now?
Now? They've had it for a while.
I know, but I never shouted out. And no. So I have
well,
to
and
give
you
them...
know, and I did bring you an updated menu.
Yes.
This is an updated
menu. So they have garlic basil pesto pasta.
That is, I've had that one. That one's really good.
It sounds really so good. And then they have like their traditional red sauce one and then like a garlic peppered one. Oh, maybe that's the pizza. Just kidding. And then they've got chicken strips. They've got boneless wings, cheesy garlic bread, poppers, salads. The list goes on with Odd Mo's Pizza. So do yourself a favor and don't cook today and order Odd Mo's Pizza.
Well, and I'll tell you that when I ordered the first pasta, I asked the guy, you know, is this good for one person? And he said, yes, it is, but it's more than I was going to eat.
Three of us shared one.
We shared one.
We did.
You and I and somebody else here
Katie.
Shared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Katie.
Yep.
So yes, one person could eat one, but you could easily share one
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Well, this is such an exciting day for me. I mean, this room is completely full, including a camera, because this is our first YouTube show.
Yes, it is.
Which we're encouraging the listeners to go to our new YouTube channel.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's called You Don't Know What You Don't Know.
Amen.
And Ashley Morris, who was on our show some time back,
mm-hmm.
she's actually our filming person. She's
okay.
joined the Kicking Cancer staff and handling their YouTube channel.
That's exciting.
Well, speaking of Odd Mo's, who was our guest last week?
Oh, we had Mike, and who's the owner of Odd Mo's, and we had Jason Conrad, the owner of the Salem Capitals.
Yeah, everybody's favorite 5 foot 24 incher.
Yeah. So that was a fun one.
But we have a guest. We have two guests in studio
mm-hmm.
that have been on the show before. One of them flew all the way from Minnesota just to be
wow.
on our show.
Minnesota represent.
Yay! Yeah. So we have Dee Dee Smith.
Who's hey, Dee Dee.
Hey.
And I think this is your fourth time on
fourth
the show.
Fourth time.
Oh yeah. Wow.
And then
okay.
Sarah called in last time from Minnesota. But
yes.
There's a reason you're in Salem. What's the why? Are you?
My sister's getting married,
okay.
and so got to be here for part of it. My daughter's the flower girl. I'm the maid of honor. Kind of have to be here.
Oh. Yeah.
So it wasn't just for. See, you should have ran with. I came here just to see you guys.
Yes, just for you guys.
There you go. Thank you, Sarah.
Of course.
Well, I would encourage the listeners to go back to podcast 169, which
okay.
is on January the 29th, and that's where Sarah shared her story.
Okay.
And she does talk on the telephone with us about being in Minnesota, but being from Kaiser.
Yes.
Welcome, ladies. This is a fun, fun, full
Thank
room.
You.
Yes, it is. You're outnumbered with Whitman.
I am seriously outnumbered. We'll see how I do with that.
We'll see.
You know, the last time I was outnumbered, I got embarrassed more than once, so I'm going to be really careful with my words today.
Sounds like a challenge.
Oh, I really
taken.
Probably should have given Dee Dee a challenge. Well, I'm going to go back to our magazine, which
oh, yeah.
is really fun now because you always take a picture,
mm-hmm.
and we can always do that too, but now they can actually see
oh, yes.
the magazine that we're talking oh, about.
Yes, yes, they
Very
can.
Cool.
This is 100 Disease-Fighting Foods. Today's food is cranberries.
Oh, okay.
Cranberries.
They're really dry. I'm not really a fan.
They're really dry?
Yeah, they like leave a chalky taste in my mouth.
Well, let's see if this can give you any better ways to look at cranberries.
Okay.
So what it does say is this bog berry helps heart health in various ways, including by lowering levels of C-reactive protein, an inflammatory marker for heart disease.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, all disease is inflammation in your body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anything you can eat that can reduce inflammation is going to be
Huge.
Really helpful, right? There was a study in 2019 that suggested compounds in cranberries fight bacterial resistance. So these berries can help antibiotics work better.
Okay. Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Choose whole berries rather than cranberry juice for a bit of both solution or soluble or insoluble fiber.
Okay.
One of the problems with your cranberry juice that you're going to buy at the stores.
Sugar.
Sugar.
Mm. Yep. I knew it.
Yeah. Cranberries are bitter.
Yeah.
And to make them easier to drink, they add sugar to it, and you'll be surprised how much sugar they add to cranberry juice.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
But one of the things that we do at our house is my wife will buy the whole cranberries, mm-hmm. and then she'll make a cranberry sauce, but then she adds oranges.
Yeah, it's delicious.
So that's not quite as bitter.
Okay.
And now you've got the good stuff from the oranges, the good stuff from the cranberries.
Yep.
She boils it, lets it harden back up again, and that's how we do it.
And then how do you eat it? You spread it on something or just...
I guess you could. We just eat it with a spoon.
Oh, okay.
You know, like you do at Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
time.
Okay.
So,
and I could recommend a flax muffin with fresh cranberries in it, and flax has got some healing properties for cancer too. So there are ways that you can put some craisins in those arugula salads and add some.
We're going to make this so you can actually eat it, Amanda.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yes. We're going to make it so you like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just took a picture. So if you guys want a copy of the cranberries, email me, Amanda, at KSLM.news.
Good job.
Well, something that you've been bugging me for the last 2 weeks is an update.
Me bugging you?
Every week.
I know, I do bug a lot.
Well, you asked me 2 weeks ago when we were down in Eugene to give me an update on Marianne.
Yes.
Which I did not have.
Right.
And then you reminded me last week, which I did not have.
Right. You normally don't let grass grow under
your
feet.
Well, I didn't, but my appointment was after we recorded.
I'm teasing you.
Well, here's the update from Marianne,
okay.
Her own words. Marianne has changed cancer treatment again.
So that's not necessarily a good sign, is it?
She started her 9th line of treatment.
Okay.
And for the listeners that haven't been following, Marianne sponsored the second half of our show. She had battled through breast cancer, thought she had it beat. It came back, but it came back in her bones.
Mm.
And I remember asking her, how do they know it's not bone cancer? Which you can probably relate to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they actually look at the cells, and the cells are breast cancer cells, but they're in her bones, which just seems really weird to me.
Yeah.
But they were having a hard time figuring out how to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's now in her 9th line of treatment. She had to switch due to progression of the disease. Marianne says this is because her cancer is smart.
Yep.
It learns how to grow even on those medications.
Yep.
She is grateful there is always another medication to move on to. At this point, her breast cancer has only metastasized to her bones. She does have a set of scans coming up that will answer some questions the oncologist has about some of her abnormal blood work that she's had for the past few months. Fingers crossed that the cancer hasn't decided to move into another area of her body.
Okay. So prayers. Please.
Yeah.
Prayers for Marianne, please.
Yeah. And she said something interesting there, and I know, Dee Dee, you and I have talked about this. Cancer's a really smart disease.
Yep.
When we talked about Ozzy months ago, they found a way to attack. It's, I don't know if you caught our story, Sarah, but Ozzy's a little boy in Albany, and he got a very, very rare brain tumor.
Ugh.
And he was going through this treatment, and it was working.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the cancer figured out how to fight the treatment.
Jeez.
So cancer is a living organism that does not want to die.
No. No.
And in Marianne's case, she's now into her 9th line of treatment because the cancer has gotten smart and figured out how to fight the medication.
Yeah.
Which is why I think this is so valuable, because
anything that you can do to boost your immune system is going to be helpful, right? Mm-hmm. And it is so incredible that our medical team's cancer research is pouring into finding those other areas that we can move and find just as smart against the big jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cancer, the
Which,
big jerk.
If you go a little further back in the podcast, there's a wonderful podcast when Dee Dee was here, and the name of that podcast is called Cancer's a Big Fat Jerk.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I think Sarah might agree with that.
Yes, it is. That is for sure.
Before we get too deep into the conversation that Dee and I wanted to bring, just really quickly, Sarah, can you tell the listeners again your cancer story and why cancer's a big fat jerk in your world?
Well, for me, I moved out to Minnesota from Oregon back in 22, and then a couple months after getting settled in and things, started getting sick and didn't know why. And I had been to urgent care and ER visits at least 3 different times, and finally they'd ended up doing CT scans and said, oh, there's an abnormality near your pancreas. Cool. Okay, so we do MRIs, we end up doing an endoscopy and get the call, hey, by the way, the mass we found is a neuroendocrine tumor.
Which you should stop there because that's not one most people are familiar with.
No, it's not. It is one of the rare ones. It's like less than 5 out of 100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And so it's a booger. Yeah. It really sucks.
It's a big fat jerk.
It is a big fat jerk, yes. So it, yeah, and I was 25. That was not something I expected. I had just moved states, trying to get established in a new area, had a job, and was trying to figure out if I was going to still be able to keep the job after that. But
yeah, for sure.
Having, at that point, I still had Oregon health insurance. So I could not do anything out in Minnesota that was going to be cost effective.
So you had to fly back to Portland.
I had to go back to, yep, I had to come back to Oregon. I was living with my parents. Thank God for them. Mm-hmm. Thank God for my support system out here, mm-hmm. all my family from Washington, Nevada, and then all my friends from work that when I was working out here, those guys, I think I would have gone insane without them.
Yeah.
So, and...
Well, we are thrilled that you are here with us. Yeah. We're thrilled that you're a survivor.
Yes.
Dee Dee and I had a discussion when we were on podcast 138. I went back and found it. And Dee Dee talked a lot about processing grief. It was right after Ozzy had passed. And mm-hmm. it was early October of last year, and Ozzy passed in September. And I think all of us were just trying to process the grief, right? Mm-hmm. And I had found something that talked about the 5 stages of grief, but you talk about the 7 stages
yeah.
of grief. Can you just quickly review that for us, Dee Dee?
Yeah, I don't know if I can name all of them, but I do know that, you know, there is the depression and there is the bargaining stages. There's that shock that happens right at the very beginning, and it's kind of protective. And as we move and navigate through the grief stages, and there's many reasons why people grieve, you don't have to come from somebody who has passed away, right? Like Sarah just mentioned, there was grief in the fact that she had to move back to mm-hmm. Oregon, but she found her tribe and she found her community. And I think that in the grief process, it's so incredible when we do find that tribe, when we do find the individuals that come around us, that community,
yeah.
that help us be able to process that. That 7th stage of grief and loss is finding purpose for your pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited yeah. to talk about that further today, because those of us who have lost somebody, those of us who have lost a future or lost plans in our lives, those of us who have gone through breast cancer, and maybe the your body has changed and you're grieving what that looks like, when you find purpose for your pain and you move into that, there is great healing in that. And I always like to say that God provides us an opportunity to share our storms mm-hmm. so that other people can survive their storms afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went back and listened to, you know, both Sarah's podcast and Dee Dee's just getting ready for today. And you said something in your podcast, and it was after Jonathan had passed,
mm-hmm.
and you were going through the bargaining stage
mm-hmm.
because you were trying to get this motor home to transport Jonathan to Texas
yeah.
to try to get that one last treatment,
mm-hmm.
treatment
yeah.
right? But after he passed, your husband, your ex-husband, was stuck in the anger stage. He just couldn't get mm-hmm. past the anger. Like, why would God take Jonathan?
Yeah.
And you had progressed through that.
Yeah.
And the state, you called that that stage acceptance and hope.
Yeah.
And that acceptance and hope gave you a purpose
yeah.
for your
to
pain.
To move forward. Mm-hmm. Right.
So I found a definition for purpose. Purpose is a noun, and it says the reason for which something is done or created, for which something exists. The purpose for the meeting is to appoint a trustee, as an example, right?
Right.
So the purpose for the meeting, but it's the reason for which something is done or created, for which something exists. And I just thought maybe we could dive a little deeper into what you've gone through, what Dee Dee's gone through, even what I've gone through.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know,
is it possible to have your foot in One of each?
Absolutely. Grief isn't linear. It would be so awesome if we could start right. shock and then go, all right, I've made it through the shell shock. I'm moving into bargaining. Thank goodness I'm through my bargaining and right. I can just mm-hmm. go through anger. And anger is giving me the energy that I need because anger is energy, oh, right? Yeah. It's mm-hmm. not depression. It's not anxiety that kicks your butt and puts you back in bed, which is those other stages, right? Right? But it's not. Grief is really messy. Mm-hmm. It's all over the place. We jump back and forth. I mentioned in our other podcast when families are going through grief, it's not unlike a family, one person to be in anger like my ex-husband was, and the other person to find a little bit more acceptance. And I always say, you know, that my grief has not become any smaller in mm-hmm. my life. But my grief has made me bigger.
Right. Okay.
And we're talking about that today in finding purpose for our pain.
Okay.
Well, and the other podcast when you were in was actually titled It's More of a Loop. Mm-hmm. That was the title we gave that podcast because you said it would be nice if it was linear. Yeah. It would be nice to go this step to this. Yeah. But mm-hmm. sometimes you get over here and then you loop back here mm-hmm. and you start the whole process over again, mm-hmm. right?
And we come up against anniversaries and mm-hmm. we go back to the last time that this happened or that day was to the anniversary, or we can be reminded of a song mm-hmm. and just be really pulled back into the different stages of those things.
Well, mm-hmm. I know when you were on last time, you made mention that it was right near Jonathan's birthday.
Yeah.
And I would imagine
yeah.
every year near his birthday,
every year.
It's got to cycle you back,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm. My grief is not smaller, but my grief has made me bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a kind of a new conversation for you, Sarah.
Yeah.
Is this resonating a little bit for you?
Yeah, it does. Just because of my own grief that I was dealing with, but also watching my parents.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm the oldest.
Okay.
And so my mom lost both her parents to two different types of cancer as well already.
Oh my gosh.
That's what this tattoo is in remembrance of.
Okay.
So miss them dearly, but also my mom's dealing with that. She took care of her parents, and then now she's dealing with taking care of me again.
Mm-hmm. What was your mom's reaction when you, because your mom lost parents, what was her reaction when she thought you had cancer?
When I first told her, it was just silence on the phone because I had
Shock.
I had to call and tell them, and she couldn't believe it.
Well, and I'm sure that her brain was going back to remembering her own parents. And yeah. I'm just guessing, but if I was the parent, my first thought was that you're going to die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that is what our thing that we've been dealing with cancer, because my grandparents both died of it. And then there was points where my mom was just angry and frustrated
yeah.
and wishing she could take it away.
Yeah.
And wishing that I didn't have to be back in Oregon because I was away from my daughter and my husband. Mm-hmm. And that was hard.
Yes.
It's so hard.
And this was just a couple years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A year and a half
yep.
or 2 years
My
ago?
1 year mark since surgery is coming up on the 19th of May.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
I've already,
Sarah.
Yeah, it's already been a year, and at least November 9th, it was a year since I had been diagnosed. And it's just, there's a lot of emotions that come along with it, and it just floods.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to do your normal day, and then you look at the date because you got to write something down, and it's like, oh, yeah.
That mm-hmm. did happen on that day.
Yep, exactly. And it triggers a whole cascade of emotions that come along with it. And
well, the other comment, and again, this was a different guest that we had, but when Scott Mills was here, Scott, he quoted Queen Elizabeth, but it's a great quote. He says, she said, grief is the price you pay for love.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yep.
And I found that so interesting because just in the last few weeks, or maybe even the last few months, Toby Keith died from stomach cancer.
Yeah.
I liked his music. I was sad. But I didn't grieve,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
O.J. Simpson just died from cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was sad because he died from cancer.
Yeah.
But when Ozzy died, mm-hmm. I grieved.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's just interesting how that trauma and the grief is just so different from mm-hmm. for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that it allows us to process empathy, right? And when we know somebody's story like Sarah's, I have empathy for her. I have empathy for her mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. For what really they went through. For mom and dad.
Yeah, and then I have such great joy because she's a survivor, and I know that something amazing is going to come out of it, and already is because she's sharing her story. But that empathy is that thing that gives us purpose, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It's that thing that propels us next into, well, then what can I do with this information to find something that's going to make a difference. Mm-hmm.
So here's an interesting parallel that you probably know, Sarah. Her son actually passed away from cancer, but mm-hmm. how old was Jonathan when he was diagnosed?
Jonathan was 28.
Jeez. And how old were you?
25.
Yeah.
So
two little boys, community leader, just an amazing young man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she can relate to what your parents went
absolutely
through, right,
right.
and there's definitely trauma on both sides, the parents and the kids.
Mm-hmm. I could only imagine.
Amanda's having a hard time right now.
I see that.
Well, and we're not going to get too far into this because Amanda won't make it. But, she's relating to this on a whole different level because
sure.
her son, at less than a year old, it wasn't cancer,
yeah.
but it was a very devastating diagnosis,
yeah.
and she was told to say goodbye to her son twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So all of this is I just wanted a conversation.
Yeah.
How do you
just
find
with my nephews? Like how you
yes.
say anniversaries
yes.
this December. He had
yes.
a horrible month.
Yes.
And I couldn't figure out what was going on, but it was an anniversary.
Yeah.
And it made sense.
Yeah.
So it's just it can apply. All of these apply to everything.
Mm-hmm. It does. And it's so important to find that humanity, mm-hmm. right? Because everybody that we know is going through something.
Mm-hmm.
So can we just find that thing in us that says, just be kind,
yeah. mm-hmm.
be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And you said on one of the, I went back and listened to several of the podcasts. I can't remember which one it was now because you have so many great things to say. But it was, you made a statement that mm-hmm. you have no idea what somebody else is going through.
No.
You don't know what their world is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy for us to jump to conclusions and, you know, mm-hmm. be angry at they're not reacting the way we want to, mm-hmm. but you don't know their world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a clue.
And the name of your I don't know what I don't know
yeah.
is absolutely perfect because if we could just take that every day and just get out of bed and say, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what someone else is going through. How can I make the day better for and have less judgment? And how can I have positive intent
mm-hmm.
in every circumstance and in everything that I do? How can I begin to assume positive intent? And it starts with, I don't know what I don't know,
mm-hmm.
and then going into having empathy,
yeah.
right? Because I'm sitting in a room with all of these individuals, every person in here has a story of something. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what I didn't know until I came in here today.
Yeah.
And
well, one of the phrases stories. We've used a lot, and we're running close on time, so this is going to wind up going to the second half of the show, but it's a phrase that Amanda and I have been using now for 2 years. We are now into the third year of this radio show.
So crazy.
I know, third year.
Purpose for your pain.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I went and checked. We just picked up Brazil
okay,
as
nice.
Another country that's downloaded our show.
That's awesome.
We're up to 43 foreign nations have listened to this radio
wow.
show. 39 states.
Okay.
So our reach is getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always said, save yourself,
each
one teach one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And one by one, we can affect a few more lives.
Yeah.
That's our goal. So.
Absolutely.
Well, we're close on time. Let's thank Mike again for
okay.
what he does.
I'm going to give a huge shout out to Odd Mo's Pizza. You guys, I'm going to list some of the pizzas that they have because they're absolutely amazing. So they're Reggie. It's a garlic veggie. It's got artichoke hearts, fresh mushrooms, red onions, black olives, Parmesan cheese, mozzarella cheese, fresh tomatoes, cheddar cheese, and green onions with their garlic white sauce. That one is so delicious.
Dee Dee says, where do I order?
Right. Oh, it's amazing. And then their Green Monster one. I know I've talked about it a lot, but it's artichoke pesto. So it's got artichoke hearts, fresh spinach, cooked Roman tomatoes, chopped garlic, feta and mozzarella cheese with their basil pesto sauce. And I like to add chicken, and it makes it just amazing. And then you can have it on a cauliflower crust.
So that, I'll have that.
That yes. pizza is literally all healthy vegetables, yes. including the cauliflower crust.
And I'm here to tell you that it does not taste like cauliflower crust.
It is such a good crust.
And I'm someone that's not huge on pizza crust because it can get thick. And it's just a lot sometimes.
Just bready. Yeah. Just way bready.
But the cauliflower crust, not only does it not taste like a vegetable, but it's amazing also. So
and Mike's amazing.
Yes, he is. So go to Oddmo's Pizza, you guys, and order out. Don't cook today. Do yourself that favor. All right, we'll be right back, you guys. Stay tuned.